This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Welcome in, everybody, to another episode of 410 Sports Talk. I am James Haskell, along with my co-host Glenn Martin. I'm no light, James, tonight. I just realized my light isn't on. Hold on now. What is going on?
Get it together, all right, bro.
Jeez, a whiz. How's that? Better?
There we go.
All right. Yeah, but here tonight on a Friday evening to talk about all things Baltimore Ravens. We're looking forward to it. Glenn, of course, held down the ship last night. Did an excellent job. Glenn, thank you so much. Appreciate it. But I'm glad to be co-pilot with you tonight. Looking forward to it. We got some news. We got some things going on. But the first thing I just want to say off the top, unless he pops in late, unfortunately, the missile, Kadri Ismail, is not going to be joining us tonight, Glenn.
Disappointing, but you know, I'm sure
things happen.
Yeah, things happen. I'm sure we'll have him on in the near future, but
for sure,
just not doesn't look like it's going to happen tonight. But yeah, Jax, the people's champ is back. Not James, me. Okay, me. Don't get it twisted, Jax. Make sure you know who the people's champ is because it's your boy. Mm-hmm. Okay,
just remember, Glenn's picked the Ravens to lose more than me.
I don't know about that. I need to see the numbers. I need to see the analytics. I need to see the stats. This is, he's just making stuff
up. Yeah, 2 weeks ago, Glenn hopped on the show and said, I thought you were going to pick us to go 17-0. You said that about me.
I've never, nor will I ever pick against my Baltimore Ravens. But
September 19th, 2021.
Huh?
September 19th, 2021.
I don't know when that is.
Hey, he's here.
Yes.
We lied, ladies and gentlemen.
Scratch that.
Yes. All right, well, let's just bring him in here. Kadri Ismail, the one, the only, the missile.
Yep, that's
right.
There he is.
Fellas.
Yes.
So I am heading back from my facility. And so, yeah, I was like, you know, I'm just not looking all studio worthy. So I'm going to just have the avatar up there.
That is totally fine, Kadri. I'll tell you that the picture is great, first of all. Second of all, I've done multiple shows while on the road. So don't ever feel like you need to look a certain way.
That's just right.
Anytime you can hop in and, you know, this is a judgment-free zone, Kadri. we appreciate you hopping on, man. How are you doing?
I appreciate it. Yeah, no, I'm doing good, man. The weather has just been outstanding. I think there's rain, no rain. But the days I've had the different charity golf events, they've been outstanding as far as the weather. So I'm one happy man.
Love it.
Nice. Good to hear. And thanks again, of course, for joining us here. I got to start somewhere that's probably going to be a little it's going to be close to your heart here, Kadri, because, I mean, I'm fortunate enough to coach my son's Little League baseball team. Shout out to the Lugnuts, the 9-10 Lugnuts. Winners of four straight, by the way. Four in a row, that's right. And I know how much pride I get seeing my son, you know, get a single or strike a guy out or whatever the case. And really not just him, but all the kids on the team. It's pretty awesome to see. I can only try and imagine what you must be feeling right now, seeing Kadir follow your footsteps, become a member of the Baltimore Ravens as a wide receiver, you know, following in your footsteps. Can you help walk us through it? Like, what's your feelings when you see him in that uniform?
Well, from just a pure dad mode aspect of it all, it brings me back. I was telling him, I was like, man, I wish we had training camp up in Westminster, because it would really kind of solidify things and be cracking me up in a sense, and, you know, have me waxing nostalgic, because there's a picture of him and his brother and sister and I, and they came up to visit, you know, dad, and he was blocking a tackling dummy, and he got a scrape on his eye. So he had, you know, Kadir was like this little ruffian, and it would just used to crack me up how he was like, oh yeah, I'm gonna be like dad and try to tackle things. And at the same time, there's also other times where I brought him up to either Westminster. Gosh, I remember him meeting, you know, Todd Heap, and there were times where he met Ray Rice, and goodness, Joe Flacco when he first, you know, came aboard. And but then it was hilarious, because as he continued to grow, and I mean grow from a height aspect of things, my goodness, you know, he would we'd go out to training camp and it would take on a different meaning, because then he was, you know, playing high school ball and seeing guys from a more just pure football perspective. So it's just loving it. I love the opportunity that the Ravens presented him. Nothing given, everything earned. And you know, his mentality has been nothing but positive, hardworking, and you know, excited for every day to get better.
Yeah, no, that's got to be exciting, absolutely thrilling. One of the things I was thinking about, and you know, as we were preparing for the show, is I think that you might be able to provide us with the most valuable scouting report, right? Like, I don't think it gets any closer than this. So, you know, one of the things that, of course, if you read up on your son, he's got a big frame, you know, he's got a lot of potential there physically. What's your take on him as a player? Give us the 30,000 foot view scouting report, as objective as you can be, or not. If you don't want to be, that's totally fine too. You're the dad, so it's up to you, but we'd love to know a little bit about him as a player based on your point of view.
Yeah. So I think the big thing, from the analyst aspect of things, I never sugarcoated anything with him. And, you know, I was always frank with him, because I think if you can be frank with your, you know, well, in this particular case, my son, I know that it's only going to help him be a better player. You know, it's going to season him. It's going to give him an understanding of what he needs to work on, what his strengths, what his weaknesses are. So with that said, yeah, I don't sit there and try to, you know, make it all like, oh, you know, he's just the greatest guy. And, you know, I'm going to say it like it is. So here's what like it is means to me. I think from, you know, collegiately, the resume, the pure numbers of it all, both at Villanova and at Samford, you know, part of it was him dealing with some coaching decisions, and part of it was dealing with some, like, just crazy weird injuries that had came about. But then ultimately what I appreciate about his resilience and his ability to overcome is that he never complained. He never threw anybody under the bus. He never put, you know, teammates in positions where, you know, he was just like being like a bad teammate himself. It wasn't those type of cases where I've seen other guys and players, and I'd even say some parents, you know, act a certain way that would be toxic to, you know, whatever team that they were on. And I can say with confidence that that just wasn't him. So, you know, mentally, I think he learned an awful lot about the art of being resilient, knowing that when I say, you know, it's earned, not given, I mean, it's truly earned. Like, the dude has just really been, you know, focused in and like locked into, like, all right, you've given me this challenge, I'm going to do it. Now, resume aside, with that, the hardcore, like, hey, what is he? So, you know, changed over from quarterback. I think he's a cerebral player. Obviously, as a quarterback, you got to learn so much from an offensive aspect of things. So I think he understands concepts and all that very well. He's 6'6 frame, 230. I always say he moves like he's 6'2. So what does that mean? Usually tall players have difficulty sinking their hips in and out of breaks. But I think he does an excellent job of really sinking his hips down and moving with a level of quickness for his size. At the same time, he also has a strong burst. The burst off the line, I think, is everything for a tall player. You know, either you got it or you don't. And I think he has it. He kind of has a eye-hand coordination that of a Calvin Johnson, which I'm not saying that it would be oh, you're just a dad saying that. No, I'm being purely just what I see. He's made plays like that. I think he has that capability in him. I think he has a toughness of a big size Brandon Marshall type of a player also. I think he has a really strong catch radius with that Brandon Marshall don't F with me kind of a vibe when he plays. At the same time, I think he can play both in the slot as well as on the outside, but it remains to be seen how he adapts to the pro game when it comes to, you know, going on the outside. I think he has, you know, that capability to really be strong with his routes to gain separation, and then obviously his big body to, you know, put him between the defender and the ball. Yeah, I think those are some of the things that I'm seeing with him so far.
And Q was still a 6'6", 230-pound frame. Is there any chance of positional versatility? Maybe we can see him get some work and transition to tight end?
Yeah, so again, you know, when we spoke with the Ravens, spoke with some other teams as well, but primarily, you know, the Ravens, I was like, yo, like, don't look at us as like we're trying to be picky. we don't care. We want to play football. And I think part of, again, you know, the positive nature of his mindset and the non-toxic, you know, don't blame others, you know, it is what it is from a leverage aspect of things. If you're asking us the more you can do type of a thing, then heck yeah, I think he's more than capable. And you know, it's crazy too, because he's not, you know, some guys are finesse type big guys. He's not that. You know, I was like, you know, you got like a little badass in you. He goes, yeah, man, I don't mind hemming somebody up. And so that, you know, just because he's a quarterback or a former quarterback, you know, he doesn't have that, you know, kind of, hey, don't touch me mentality. He's like, all right, bet. You know, we got block. Special teams, when he was down in Samford, he did, you know, punt return. He did, you know, kickoff return. You know, he's not afraid to block. He's not afraid to get in the mix. So I think from that aspect of things, yeah, if he is the F position, then sure, like, let's do it. You know, there's a physicality to his game. F, X, or, you know, Y, it doesn't matter. Either or all three, it doesn't matter.
Mm. That's super exciting. I'm happy for you. I'm happy for him. I'm happy for the Ravens. I think there's true and objective upside to him as a prospect, just based like on, I mean, based on your assessment. I mean, and you look on from the outside in, I think it's a rare mix of, you know, speed, physicality, coordination, and size. And that alone is exciting outside of who he is as a player and as a person. So that's getting me really excited. And I hope things, you know, work out, because I tell you what, Kadri, for years, basically since Anquan Boldin, Glenn has been pounding his fists at the pulpit, begging for a guy that can go high point the football. Begging. I mean, and look, if we got a guy like that, that would be absolutely amazing. We're looking forward to it. But I did have a couple other questions for you regarding this offense as a whole and this team as a whole. And really one of them is for me is around Derrick Henry. I know everyone was excited when that happened and was looking forward to it. And they've done some things to in the draft to kind of address the questions of the offensive line in front of him. But what do you see his impact being on this team and his role in this offense in the upcoming season? And before you answer, the reason I think this is really intriguing is because for us, we were talking about as soon as he signed, there's no way Derrick Henry is standing on the sidelines in the AFC Championship game and getting 3-4 touches, in my opinion, right? Like, he's just that much of a presence, that much of a force, that much of a player, where I feel like it almost forces you to get him the ball, you know, to a certain degree. But what do you see him being here in Baltimore as a player?
Yeah, so I think it's interesting because we've had the running back by committee for a couple of seasons now. I think now is where you can see a Derrick Henry. It would be one and Derrick Henry 1A, and then there's the rest. So everybody else, you know, you kind of, everybody was like 1A, you know, 1C, 1B, you know, that sort of thing. It was just a group. And I think Derrick Henry's resume and what he's done has shown that, you know, shoot, I mean, I'm a bell cow. Like, what's up? Now, I don't want the 30 carry, 25 carry, 22 carry type of a Derrick Henry. I want the 15 to 20, you know, type Derrick Henry, because when it does come to the divisional round or in the AFC Championship game, you know, now, oh yeah, fresh legs, I'm about to whoop up on you type of a thing. And I got so many change of pace backs that have gotten good experience, the Justice Hills, the Keaton Mitchells of the world, and possibly, you know, I forget the young man who's on the roster now, who can potentially do some damage depending upon how he takes to the offense. But, you know, Keaton and Justice, I think, are just such strong compliments that it is that case where, am I going to put in my big personnel? And if I do, then what does that look like as far as Todd Monken calling plays to the outside guys, as well as the tight end group? Or is it a situation where I'm going to just suck it up, keep Big Nickel in, and if I keep Big Nickel in and 22's out there, and well, now I got Thunder and Lightning, Thunder being Derrick Henry, Lightning being Lamar, and Lamar is a lot more lighter in his weight, so he's going to really be Lightning. So now you're just putting yourself in a pickle, and it's just a matter of, is the offensive line going to be up to speed and gelling together to make this all happen?
Yeah, and I'm glad you went there, because that's really my question. I think that was the biggest question mark heading into this offseason, when the coaches and front office mentioned that this is an offensive line rebuild. This isn't a they didn't go into this saying this was a simple, you know, patch one spot. They called it a rebuild. So what's your take on that rebuild, Q? Do you feel like they did enough to ensure that there's a championship level offensive line in front of Lamar and Derrick Henry?
Yeah, I think so.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Time will tell because, you know, the new offseason rules that have, you know, been in place for a while, you really, you know, the evaluation of a D-line, O-line is a lot different. You can't have the physical play. So, you know, it's a matter of, you know, you got to be so locked in with your technique. You got to be so communicative. And I think that's where training camp, you're going to be forged in the fire. I'm liking the fact that they're going to have a joint practice with Green Bay. Perhaps they'll have one with Philly, who knows. But the point is that there are going to be opportunities for them to get on the same page and to have some physicality for themselves. I think that's going to be super important. I can't emphasize that enough. Their training camp for the offensive line last year was, you know, the receiving core, learning, you know, Tom Monken's offense, all that. This year, so goes the offensive line and them gelling together. So goes this offense.
I hope you're right. I know that we're excited about Rosengarten, of course, the right tackle that we drafted. We had a guy that's that had been following him since high school come on the show, and he said he believes he can be Quentin Nelson. Quentin is his first name, right? The Colts guard. Yeah, Quentin Nelson type player, you know, being at right tackle, which is really encouraging, of course, to hear. But the other thing I wanted to ask you about, you kind of mentioned this, everyone is watching the scale with bated breath when they talk about Lamar Jackson and his weight, which, cue off the top, I think is really stupid. But what's your take on this whole thing? Everyone's talking about, you know, the weight, and they're all concerned about the fact that he's 205 or whatever he is at this point. I have zero concern. Where are you at this point with Lamar's weight? Do you not care? Do you have an opinion? What's your take?
Yeah, here's the crazy thing about it. From a bigger picture aspect of it all, two seasons ago, jump up to 230, when that happened, that's when I was first introduced to the Lamarites, because I was like, I simply made on Twitter X, like, hey, he needs to be careful. You know, hopefully his trainer won't, you know, ruin his movement brilliance. And the Lamarites came out of nowhere, and they just was like, what do you know? What about this? What about that? Who are you? Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, bruh, y'all got to be the dumbest fan base Lamarite people having this that I've ever met in my entire existence, because I'm not talking out my butt. I have seen so much football. I am a freaking sports performance movement specialist. This is what I do, you dummy. And so when his season came and went, obviously last season as well, it is no surprise to me that he felt like, you know, there's something to being lighter and explosive, because that's who he is. He's a gosh doggone dynamic, unbelievable, you know, generational talent. You just can't like contain him. He can only contain himself. And I think part of him containing himself is, you know, that added extra muscle. Now, tendons can store that elastic energy and give you that explosiveness. And as long as your tendon and ligament strength is on point and the muscle is proportional, man, you're just going to be dynamic, and you're going to be able to be elusive and protect yourself. So, yeah, I kind of smiled and I was like, yeah, Lamar validated me and what I had been saying from the very beginning. But hopefully, you know, it works out where he can just continue to be that strong, powerful, explosive guy that we came to know as a two-time league MVP.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here. Zero concerns. Mm-hmm. Q is not concerned. I'm not concerned.
It sounds like Q is rooting. He's excited. Was rooting for the lower weight and get a little bit leaner, increase some flexibility, and hopefully the speed as well. But Q, I got to ask you about your top specialty. We're talking about the pass catching group, and I find it interesting in the offseason because it's essentially the same group. I mean, outside of really just Odell Beckham Jr. is gone. Of course, Tez Walker comes in from North Carolina, and that's the major change in the room. Of course, they did lose a couple other guys, Duvernay being one of them, but six of the top seven are back. So it's funny when I see fans react and they say, oh, they don't have any receivers, they're backed it, when really they just lost one and replaced him with a rookie, so we don't know what we're getting yet. But what's your thoughts on this pass-catching group when you include the tight ends, of course, in that group? Do you think that this is a championship-level pass-catching group?
Yes, I do. I think what Zay learned last year from Odell, I think what he experienced from his successes, I think what Bateman now feels like the off season is for pay. The season is for play. And the fact that they paid him, you know, there's obviously market value, blah, 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 all that. I'm not talking about that. Fact of the matter is, you know, that's one less thing he has to worry about for this season. Now, he can they like me. They really like me. Let me go out there and do what I do. And with that, I think comes the ability to get him the football, to get to continue to, you know, allow Zay to be Zay. I think Nelly is just the vet that you need. And then it's just up to Tez to grow. The game planning for Tez is not going, you know, when Eric DaCosta talks about him being like Torrey Smith, I remember clearly Torrey's coming out party was St. Louis. At St. Louis, we're doing a game. You could see where they had single high safety and Anquan was getting all the attention. And Torrey, all he had to do is just do some big post routes. And I'm not saying all he had to do, but that was how he did. He did it well, and he had a monster game. You know, then you see where they would have him in, and they would have two tight ends. Heck, they would even have Vontae Leach in there, and it was like you would think it was big package, which gave the look of a dominant run. He would have a tight split, safety in the box, everybody in the box, and boom, Torrey just go over the top. And, of course, you know, Joe was throwing it down the football field. That's young Torrey Smith, and I think that could be young Tez Walker. But I really am intrigued with the tight end play when it comes to, you know, you got just Isaiah Likely and obviously Andrews, both guys just, hey, I bet, you know, Andrews is Andrews, but, you know, you got Isaiah now kind of having a little bit of more swagger and confidence because he's done it. And he's done it when all eyes were on him on a grand stage. I think his, yo, I can do this, came in Jacksonville when he's making just clutch play after clutch play. So ultimately, people are going to have those little ounces of doubt. But I think this training camp, preseason, and again, hopefully they'll have more joint practices. But I'm anxiously away. Like, in other words, you know, the Eagles, if they had a joint practice with the Eagles, that would be so much fun because they struggled last year from a secondary aspect of things, and they just drafted like crazy to bolster their group. So could you imagine, you know, the likes of us and other podcasters all descending down on that joint practice? We would care less about, well, maybe we would look at probably, you know, the Eagles D line and our O line a little bit because they got a stud, you know, defensive front. But we would be like, all eyes are glued in on their DBs versus our receivers. Mm-hmm. doing one-on-one and or seven-on-seven. And we would be reporting it like crazy because I think that would be the telltale sign of whether or not, you know, well, do the Ravens need to bring in another veteran guy? You know, I don't see it. And yet let the Ravens youngins prove themselves. And I think that they will.
Yeah. So quick call for you to the wide receiver group.
Jimmy.
Did Zay surprise you at all last year? Were you pleasantly surprised by how quickly he made an impact?
Was Zay Flowers?
Yes.
Was I surprised?
Yes.
No. Why? Because I think between OBJ and Nelly and Todd Monken just like giving him what he does best, which is get the ball to him, whether it be at, behind, or just past the line of scrimmage. And so, yeah, he kind of did his thing in that regards. He grew a little bit more with some intermediate routes. And then I think, you know, there was like a small dry period, but then he kind of, you know, took off again. Mm-hmm. Is there some kind of insider like y'all just didn't like something that he did or didn't do or?
No. Go ahead, Jimmy. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Kadri, I'm gonna tell you this in all good fun. I don't know if you remember when you came on with us live at Ellie's, but I said Zay was gonna be our wide receiver one halfway through the season. I think I said, and you laughed at me pretty hard.
Yeah, I did. I absolutely did. And I laughed because I felt like Odell, had he not gotten kind of those weird injuries, would have been receiver one.
Yeah, I can see that.
Bateman. Yeah, and I think Bateman, if he didn't get knocked down a notch from training camp, like if he had just been able to just come out of the gate, I think we would have seen Zay as more of a complimentary guy. Don't necessarily put pressure on him. So that's where I was like, yeah, you don't know what you're talking about. Now, injuries force you to have to grow up real quick.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like I said, it was at and or behind or just past the line of scrimmage that he was, you know, getting the ball in his hands. So there's like this, you know, I'm snatching the ball. But also you saw where the Pittsburgh game, like, unfortunately, he had a rookie type of a moment, like where he was just dropping things. And that's why I'm saying, like, you know, yeah, that's to kind of be expected from a rookie aspect that you kind of like, oh, I don't want him to have that pressure on him as a coordinator, you know, and but yet, you know, you kind of get back into the groove of like, all right, who do we got? And the next thing, you know, well, we got to change it up. Why do we got to change it up? Because, you know, Odell went down, he's kind of banged up too. And all right, let's go ahead and we got to do what we got to do with Zay. So he had to grow and it was trial by fire.
Yeah. No, I also think there's a lot of things I'll say about, but I think that I think Monken fell in love with who Zay was as a player, as far as like, you know, getting in the lab and drawing up plays for him and stuff like that. I think it just, he was one of those guys. He was like, oh, I can do so many things with him. That just provided Zay more opportunities to simply get the ball. I think that there was some of that too. Obviously, all those things as well, like you mentioned. But I know I'm certainly not alone, and everyone else on the show agrees with me that we're all super excited to see what Zay does in year two. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you are as well. Really looking forward to him and Lamar continuing to vibe and connect and build that chemistry. I appreciate you going down memory lane with me there.
I tell you what, it's interesting because, you know, there are times where you can be the number one. And as I reflect back, he was more not necessarily number one, but more featured. And so you're like, okay, but you're splitting hairs. Maybe I am. You could probably say that. But I think the way the offense ran, he was more complimentary to, say, you know, Mark before Mark went down. He was more complimentary when it came to the combination of Odell and, you know, even though Bateman, because Bateman, if they would have connected, my God, man, it would have been a different story. Like, there's been like four or five deep ball opportunities that, you know, outside of the Pittsburgh game where both Bateman and Zay just, you know, crap the bed. I think outside of that, them dudes, like, Bate was creating separation. He was like, yo, like, I'm him. I'm doing my thing. So, yeah, I mean, you got to credit Zay for being ready. I you know, that's not, I don't really care. You know, well, I'm wrong, because that means Zay was focused in the meeting room and focused in on his assignments. And when it came to competing, you know, when the ball was his way, he was making plays. So, darn, I'm wrong. Yay, me.
I love it. Nothing like being wrong and it being the best absolute outcome, right? Like, that's the best.
That's a win-win. Now, Q, as a former player, the biggest thing that came out of OTAs, in my opinion, was the participation of a lot of veterans who certainly don't need OTAs, guys like Roquan and even Lamar to a degree. As a former player, do you glean anything out of that level of participation, particularly of high-priced veterans that didn't necessarily have to come but decided they wanted to come out here and participate in OTAs?
Yeah, you know, I think it was cool.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I think, you know, the team culture of winning starts with just that, having a team to kind of like, yo, here's what we're all about. Let's do this together. It helps young players. I know, you know, Kadir was like, oh, that was cool. You know, the locker room of seeing Derrick Henry and, you know, Roquan, you know, chop it up and talk about, you know, different strategies, you know, as a young player, he ain't going to get that if Roquan and Derrick Henry aren't there. You know, so now he's like, huh, all right, well, you know, these are some stud dudes. Like, wow, they're, you know, that's cool. Seeing how, you know, the veterans practice, seeing how they take their job seriously. I think that fosters, because you're going to need everybody. That's just the bottom line. You're going to need everybody. And if you got everybody there, it sets the tone of how you want people to work. Will everybody be there for all of OTAs? Well, it's voluntary, so no. And that's their right as a veteran. But I think it definitely helped to set the tone off on the right, you know, track with so many guys there, especially in the first week of it.
Yeah, no, I would agree with you. I think it's always a, you know, an awesome opportunity to, like you said, for the young guys to get around and really set the tone. But we want to switch over to the other side of the ball here. At least I do, unless Glenn, you have a follow-up.
Well, I mean, I do have one last question about the offense. Everybody says next step. This offense needs to take the next step. Yeah. I heard that from Todd. I heard that from a couple offensive guys. What, you know, as a former wide receiver, one Super Bowl champ, and you know, a great offensive player, what does the next step for this offense look like in your opinion?
Yeah, next step is when you own the offense and the coordinator. It's no longer just the coordinator's offense. It's your offense. That's next step.
Oh. Dang, we lost him. Oh, no. We lost him. We lost Q. Jimmy, I blame you.
Wait a second.
No, I blame you and I blame DK.
No, I blame you two.
No.
I blame you two.
You
no,
had you to two. Bring it up.
Nope, you too.
You couldn't have stuck to the dock.
Nope, it's you too.
There we go. All right, Q's back. Q's back. Let's see.
Can you? Man, there we go. There we go. I started talking about next steps, and the next thing I was like, no, we're not going to talk about next steps. We're like, screw next steps. We don't need next steps. Shh, quiet.
Go ahead, though. Yeah.
Next steps basically is when the team itself owns the offense. You know, I remember playing with Peyton Manning, and you knew you were in a groove when it was like he could just go to the line. He would hear a call from the sideline, and he'd be like, nah, we're going to change it. And he would change it to a different call that was a better call for us. And that's us as a team owning it, you know, going to the sideline and talking about different routes and different, you know, coverages that they're presenting and what we can do to win. That's owning it. You know, it's a cool thing taking that next step. It's like, you know, there are certain calls or certain plays that were called that you really didn't fully know. You heard it throughout the year, sure. But now there's all I know that. And when a coach is teaching it, he's not just using some film of some other team. He's actually using film of you when you're in there and last season. And so it makes like the connection of ownership stronger. And that's, you know, you don't want to think, you just want to react. You just want to know, you just want to do. There's been a, you know, there were a couple of times where, you know, you heard it with Odell when he was saying, yeah, you know, I'm thankful that, you know, whatever, I caught that route. I should have scored or I should have made it easier, but, you know, I ran the wrong route. And that's because, you know, collectively there was not that full-on ownership. I think if you get a full-on ownership of knowing, you know, the plays and how you can gel together conceptually, that's taking the next step.
I sure hope you're right. I sure hope you're right. I'm looking forward to that as well. Glenn, what do you got?
Yeah, so for on the defensive side of the ball, I know a lot of fans credited the success of defense with the now Seattle Seahawks head coach Mike McDonald. And some are saying that, you know, the combination of losing not just him, but also Patrick Queen and Jadeveon Clowney and some other, you know, important veterans that were pretty key to the team's success, or the defense's success. They say there's no chance this defense is going to be as good as it was last year. With Zach Orr now as the DC, and they did replace those guys with, in some cases, some young talent. What's your take? Can this defense be as good as it was last season, or at the very least good enough to, you know, get this team where it wants to go?
Yeah, you know, again, you talk about ownership and all that. One of the things that I thought, you know, Zach had mentioned, he's like, man, this defense has been around. We have had so many guys put their own stamp on it. And yet, you know, the calls and everything, it's the same things. It's just guys putting their own stamp on it. You know, Mike McDonald was just as aggressive as Wink Martindale. It's just that he didn't all out blitz all the time. He would actually, I think he used his secondary guys to come down in a box and you know, be aggressive off the edge way more than what Wink would do. Wink would just all out blitz you and have no help necessarily in the back end. And so that was Wink, but that's Mike McDonald. That was his slant on things. I think that Zach Orr, he had the advantage as a player. He had the advantage of, you know, being with Wink, being with Mike McDonald. You know, he had all those advantages. Yeah. Now he has to, it was funny. He was like, yeah, you know, the difference is if we make a big play, I'm celebrating and hooping and hollering with my boys. But now I'm the coordinator. I got to remember, shoot, I hoop and holler. Ha ha. Okay. We need the next call. So you don't have time to necessarily celebrate. So that's going to be a big difference. You know, those are little things that I'm sure he'll learn and adapt to.
I'm excited for him. And every time I listen to him talk, I just get more and more confident in his ability to, you know, not only fill the shoes, but really excel in the role. Like you said, I mean, the defense has been here for a long time, and he, you know, just like a lot of these guys that are coming from the coaching staff, but him certainly a bit uniquely, he bleeds, you know, Ravens DNA, all right, Ravens blood. He's a Raven. Like, that's just the culture is instilled in him. So we're really looking forward to that. Q, it is late on a Friday evening, and we are grateful for your time. Thank you so much. We hope to have you on again soon. Please tell your son that we are wishing him the best.
Yes.
And we're going to be out there at training camp, of course. And we're really looking forward to seeing him go out there and ball out, turn some heads. You know, we had a Samford guy make this team undrafted not too long ago in the distant past.
There's also already one one of your former teammates' son on the team, Keaton Mitchell. Yes. And so let's make it two, Q. Let's make it two.
I'm hearing you. I'm liking the positivity. I think, again, you know, he's excited. He definitely loves the art of playing and doing his thing. I think at the same time, from a bigger picture standpoint, what I appreciate about the Ravens, like you said, with Keaton, is like, yeah, we want you to succeed. We're going to put you in the best position to succeed. So we're going to be all there for you. Now just go out there and do it. And so I think it'll be fun to see, you know, how he goes through these OTAs, goes into training camp, and then see what happens from there.
Let's go. Let's go. That's awesome, man. Good luck to him. Thank you so much, Q. We greatly appreciate your time this evening. We know you got a million things to do. Have a great Memorial Day weekend, and we'll be talking to you soon.
Appreciate it, fellas. Thanks so much for having me on, as always.
Yep.
Thanks, Q. Take care, man. Yeah, man. It's always nice to have Q on talking. Dude. But, you know.
Love it.
You didn't have to. You almost messed up, Jimbo.
You almost messed up.
You know, had to bring up the receipts. You know, you could have let it go. Stuck to the doc.
No, I did nothing wrong, and you will never make me think otherwise. No, I love you, and I appreciate his time.
Yes,
that was awesome, yes. Dude. I'm really looking forward to the potential of his son being able to, you know, really show out, dude, and do some things.
I think he's got some real chance to be on the practice squad, and who knows, the potential to switch to tight end in this league. 6'6", 6'7" is what he was listed at Samford. I mean, so I got a feeling he's a hair over 6'6", and let's see what he can do. Asmodeus, appreciate your continued support and generosity. Yes, Jimmy's back.
Hello.
Also Kadri, congrats on your son joining the Ravens for your chicken breasts and asparagus needs. Yes, let's keep things healthier. I like it. He's not just Taco Bell, Mickey D's. No, this guy will get you your veggies as well. So appreciate it. But I also saw another one earlier. I don't want to forget that the NBA one too, but Don C says, happy Memorial Day, guys. Sunblock the kids, Jimmy. I don't think Q apologized. No, the heck he did not.
And on 10 toes, and that's all right.
I love it. I love how he put the comment in the private chat just to show us.
He's reading the private chat.
I love nice this work. Guy, dude. I love this guy. But yeah, that was absolutely hilarious. And then Jimmy Ravens O's Nation says, random question: who makes the NBA Finals?
Ooh.
I mean, I think it's pretty. The East is looking done.
Yeah. The real question with Boston is, when is Kristaps back, and what will he look like?
Right.
For the finals, I mean, that's really what it's about.
Yep.
On the other side, I think ultimately, I think ultimately the Timberwolves are going to be like throughout an entire series. I think they're a little too much for the Mavs.
Too much, huh?
Okay. I think they're too athletic. I think they're too young, too physical. I just think I could be totally wrong. At the end of the day, like for me, the X factor is Kyrie. As good as Luka is, like Kyrie is the veteran. He's the one that's been there.
He hits the big shots.
That's what I'm saying. So Kyrie to me is the X factor, but
yeah. Ant Edwards screwed up, dude.
Yeah.
He said, I got Kyrie. And Kyrie heard that at home. He said he was just sitting home minding his business. And he saw Ant Edwards say, don't worry, I got Kyrie. And he heard that. He heard him say it, Jimbo.
Why do you do that? I guess if you're the best, if you think you're the best, you say whatever you want. But like,
I mean, he was gassed at the end of the game trying to guard Kyrie, dude. Yeah. He wasn't.
Why chase him around, dude?
He was gassed, bro.
You know what I mean? It's like trying to catch a Jack Russell Terrier.
Yeah. Don't do it. Yeah, don't do it. Here? It ain't going to be easy. But appreciate the generosity, Ravens O's Nation. Jimbo, one last question I have for you. Matthew Judon has been linked to the Ravens as a possible trade target.
Yeah.
Looks like it wouldn't cost much more than a few or maybe even a couple late round draft picks. Had some injuries last year, only played in four games, but did have four sacks in just four games. They and previous to that, yeah, exactly. And previous to that, he had played in 17 games in 2022, had 15 and a half sacks. He had 17 games played in 2021, 12 and a half sacks. So, this is a guy who's been incredibly reliable and dependable through the majority of his career outside of last year. So would you welcome a Matthew Judon return to Baltimore?
100%. 100%. Judon is a Raven. For lack of better terms, he spent some time in New England, but he's a Raven. He's got swag. He'll bring leadership to that team. He's a productive player. He's generally a healthy player. Mm-hmm. I have zero concern. Bring him back because I have 100% concern about our edge group. I mean, you're talking about Kyle Van Noy leading this group? No offense to Kyle Van Noy.
Well, Adafe's there.
Really? You're not concerned about Adafe leading your group of edge rushers?
This is the year for Adafe. We need to make a bet on Adafe. You need to tell me a number that you're
coming. Nine.
So eight and a half.
Chance of getting nine sacks.
I'm going to come up with some. I'm going to put the over under eight and a half. He has very little
chance at getting 11 games. Like, it's just what it is.
Tank says, KVN balled out.
He did, but that was with a dip. I mean, he had Clowney over there. I mean, I just.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that he needs a running mate. He's a vet. Like, bring Judon back, dude. He would be the best in that room day one. Anybody wants to argue me up? I mean, at me. Right, 410 right. Sports Talk, because I don't have a Twitter yet.
No, but I mean, the guy, crazy high motor. Great with the microphone. Yeah. Like the Ravens would love to put him in front behind the podium every week. Like
him and Jameson could hang out again.
Yeah. Now that might be a little bit of an issue there, but yeah, I mean, I think it all makes too much sense. The only question is, can they fit his salary under the cap? And, you know, is that too big of a hurdle? Right. We'll have to wait and see there, but eat the microphone cover. Let's bring it back. Eight and a half over under. I say over. I say he gets to double-digit sacks this year. And not just 10. I'm talking cool dozen. Cool dozen. All right?
You're pulling other people, but I know you don't believe that.
Yeah, cool dozen, bro. Cool dozen.
I love it. I love it. Well, yeah, I think you agree with me, though. Bring Judon back.
Oh, I would love to have Judon back. It'd be awesome.
No, for sure. All right, guys. Well, I think that's it for us tonight. We appreciate the time. Thank you so much for hanging out with us on Friday night. Like I said to Kadri, all of you have a great Memorial Day weekend. Get the grills out or whatever you do. Enjoy the weather. Get outside. Get some vitamin D and hang out with the family. We'll talk to you soon.
See you.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.